You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Beginning of Guidance by Mufti Hussein Kamani. To find out more information on Mufti Hussein's Qalam course entitled The Prophetic Code, a study of prophetic manners and etiquette, visit qalaminstitute.org/prophetic code.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala sayyidi rusuli wa khatim al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. Adabul Jumu'ah, the etiquette of Friday. Bismillah.
Page 80. Know that Friday is a day of celebration for the believers. It is an honored day that Allah Most High has chosen for this Ummah.
Now, in here, this author says that أن الجمعة عيد المؤمنين. Indeed, Jumu'ah is the celebration day for the believers. And the reason why this is a celebration day is because this is a very special day. Historically, many great events took place on this day. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us that when we go for the Jumu'ah prayer, there should be an extra preparation for this day. Extra bathing, putting on your best clothes, putting on your best of perfume, as we're going to read up ahead. And now, one point to mention before we go any forward. The day, this Friday, in Arabic, we call it Jumu'ah. That's a correct pronunciation. Jumu'ah is wrong. So many people, they read this name with a sukun on the meme, that's incorrect. It's Jumu'ah. That's the correct pronunciation of the name of the day. Now, the second thing the author mentions, he says that قَدْ خَصَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِهِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the day of Jumu'ah specially for this ummah. For the Jewish community, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them Saturday. And for the Christian community, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them Sunday. However, Friday was a day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved for this ummah, and this is a special gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the ummah. And likewise, there are certain virtues of Friday that other days do not hold. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that the person who passes away on Jumu'ah, if a person is to pass away on Friday, he gains the reward of a martyr. And another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, the one who passes away on the day of Jumu'ah, that person is saved from any punishment of the grave. So we learn from these virtues that there's a special uniqueness, special rank for the day of Jumu'ah. And here the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us through these narrations, and there are other narrations that are coming up ahead.
In it is an unknown period of time during which no Muslim servant asks Allah Most High for something he needs, but that he grants it to him.
Now here's the second thing that's very beautiful about this Jumu'ah, is that in the 24 hours of Jumu'ah, from the Maghrib of Thursday to the Maghrib of Friday, those 24 hours there is a special time in there. And that special time is such that any person that makes dua, and their dua matches that special time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept their dua immediately. Now the scholars, they say, what is that special time? When is it? So now this is where the scholars, they come in, they have the discussion. Some scholars say that special time, the first thing that we all know, that most scholars, they agree that this unique time is not a long period, it's a very short period. It's a very small window that opens up on Friday and then it closes. Maybe a few moments. It opens up, you make your dua, if you match it, that dua is accepted immediately. And then that window closes again till next Friday. That's why from our teachers, they were those who would spend the entire 24 hours of Friday just making dua. They would finish off all the sleeping they needed to do before Thursday Maghrib, and next time they would sleep would be Friday after Maghrib. The rest of the full day they would be in i'tikaf, making dua, making tasbih, reading salah. The whole 24 hours was a very special 24 hours because they wanted to catch that special window of dua. You know, our teacher used to always tell us a story. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm sure it is. But it's an interesting story. But there was a lady, she used to live in India, and she had a chakki. You know what a chakki is? Like a grinder. And she used to, spin her grinding mill for wheat and sell whatever she had at the end of the day. So every day she did this for her entire life, and she thought to herself, what did I earn after doing this all my life? Maybe $1,000, $2,000 in my savings. You're not going to earn too much in your savings if that's what you're going to do for a living, right? So one day she went to the imam sahab, and she heard the khatib, the sheikh was giving the khutbah, and he said that at Friday there is a special window. If your dua matches that window, Allah accepts your dua immediately. So that lady, she sat there and made dua to Allah. Oh Allah, make my mill of gold. Oh Allah, turn it into gold. Is chakki ko to sona banade, right? Oh Allah, make this mill of mine gold. Oh Allah, turn it into gold. She made the dua the full day. And finally, she made dua the full day. when Maghrib time came for Jum'ah, she got tired. And she said, Khuda, agar sona nahi kam az kam chandi bana de. If not gold, then at least turn it into silver. And it turned into silver right away. She caught that special dua moment right at that time. So the two things we learn, first thing we learn from the story is that never lose hope in Allah's mercy. Because Allah will give you when it's best for you, and whatever is best for you. Sometimes you ask for something and Allah doesn't give it to us, it's because that's not good for us. How many of us have been making dua our entire life? Oh Allah, make me rich. Oh Allah, give me the dollar sign. Oh Allah, give me so much money. Give me all the bling in the world. But we don't realize that that bling and that money is not good for us. It's possible that that money may bring arrogance in us. It's possible that money may take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many people have lived on this world that Allah gave wealth to and it took them away from Allah? Is that right or wrong? So many people. They lose their religion because they don't think they forget they're dependent. And because they have wealth, they think they're independent. And the moment you think you're independent is when you've lost the plot altogether. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that's independent. We will always be dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The story of Qarun is there. There was a person during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He made dua that he said, O Messenger of Allah, make dua, Allah gives me wealth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he kind of tried to push it off, but he was insisting. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him. The Sahaba say after he became wealthy, he stopped coming to the masjid for prayer. And then a time came, we realized that person stopped coming for Jum'ah salah. And during the time of the Khulafa, he even stopped giving zakat too. And then they remembered, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that day that don't ask for wealth. That's why it's important that we never ask for things that we want. Rather, we should say, oh Allah, if this is good for me, give it to me. If it's not good for me, then keep me away from it. Especially when it comes to matters of marriage or house or car. These bigger decisions, we should say, oh Allah, if it's good for me, then give it to me. You know, we make the dua of istikhara. And in the dua of istikhara, if you read the translation, this is what we're asking Allah. We're saying, oh Allah, if it's good for me, then give it to me. And if it's not good for me, then keep me far away from it and keep that thing far away from me as well. Okay, so here we're learning here that there is a special time that if you catch that moment while making dua on Friday, your dua gets accepted. Now, when is that time? Again, the scholars have a large discussion. Many scholars, they say, a large group of scholars, they say, this special time of dua being accepted on Friday is between the Asr and Maghrib of Friday. The Asr and Maghrib. That's why you'll realize back home in India and Pakistan or even in the Middle East, you'll find that it's a common tradition that Friday after Asr Salah, everyone's in the masjid. Have you guys noticed that? Friday after Asr until Maghrib, everyone's in the masjid, they're making the dua because they're trying to catch that moment there. It's a very special moment. Everyone spends that time. Another group of scholars, Qadi Iyad being amongst them, Al-Maliki, he used to say, along with other scholars too, that this special window of dua lies between the two khutbahs of Friday. So that's not the time to sleep or play with your phone or miss it altogether. You should be in the masjid when the imam is giving the khutbahs, when he sits down. That small little window he has there, that he gives you, that's the moment to start making your du'as to him as much as you can from the bottom of your heart. Some scholars say it lies in the tahajjud salah, during the tahajjud window of Friday, you know, before the fajr salah time. So there are different opinions given in this regard. And some scholars even hold the opinion that this timing isn't one particular time of Friday, it revolves every Friday, it changes. You understand? They say every Friday, that time changes. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it change, so we search for it. And when we search for it, we'll make more dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make more ibadah along it. Yes?
So prepare for it on Thursday by cleaning your clothes and by glorifying.
So when do we start preparing for Friday? Not 1 hour before Jum'ah Salah. We start preparing for Friday. Imam Ghazali is telling us when? Thursday night. Thursday night is when you pick your clothes up. It's kind of like how we do for Eid. You know, no one prepares for Eid the day of Eid. We start preparing for Eid days in advance, right? We go shopping and we choose the perfume, match our shoes and hat and all that stuff. All that preparation starts in advance. So here Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi is also saying when it comes to Jum'ah, don't be careless. Don't be careless. When it comes for Jum'ah, don't prepare the day of. Start preparing the night before. And that'll allow you to be prepared for Jum'ah properly. Yes?
So prepare for it on Thursday by cleaning your clothes and by glorifying Allah.
So cleaning your clothes. Now, in our world, that may not mean a lot, but if you don't wash your clothes on Thursday, you won't have clothes to wear on Friday. And the reason why I say it won't mean a lot to us, because now we have washing machines. You just throw them in an hour later, they're ready. But in those days, in order for you to have clothes ready to wear on Friday, you had to wash them well in advance, because you had to wash them with your hands, squeeze the water up, put them up to dry. And it was very common. Even till today, if you go to some of the villages across the world, people on Thursday, all the people of the village will gather together, they'll go to the talab, the pond. and they'll start beating their clothes because that's how they wash them. They beat their clothes and they wash them and wash them. Everyone does it Thursday, and then Friday you see them coming into the masjid with nice, white, clean clothes on. Yes?
By cleaning your clothes and by glorifying Allah much and seeking His forgiveness on Thursday evening. Footnote. For it is a time that equals a special moment of Friday in merit.
Okay, let's read the footnote. Yes?
Footnote. In Islam, the beginning of any day begins from the sunset of the previous day. Hence, the beginning of Friday, Jumu'ah, is from the Maghrib of Thursday.
So that's clear. So the beginning of Friday is actually from the Maghrib of Thursday. That's when it starts, so all their virtues also start from there. Yes?
Make intention to fast on Friday, but along with fasting Saturday or Thursday, because there is a prohibition against fasting on Friday alone.
So fasting on Friday is a good thing, but the Prophet ﷺ prohibited to fast only on Friday. He ﷺ said, if one of you wishes to fast on Friday, he should add a day before or add a day after. Add a day before Thursday and Friday, or Friday and Saturday. The hadith is narrated by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhi. Yes.
When Fajr comes, have a ritual bath.
Okay, now, when Fajr comes, have a ritual bath. Many people have this question, that when can I take my bath for Jummah? Do I have to take it right before I go to prayer? Can I take it Thursday night? Can I take it Friday after Fajr Salah? Because we all know there's a special virtue of taking a bath on Friday before going to the prayer. But when do I actually take that bath? So, here Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi is telling us that the time to take the bath for the Friday prayer is Friday after Fajr Salah. He says when Fajr Salah comes in, that's when that window opens up. And then until Jummah, you have that window, that this is the window to make your bath. Some scholars say you can make the bath from Thursday after Maghrib Salah as well. However, this is Imam Ghazali's opinion here, that Friday after Fajr Salah is when that window opens up. Now it's time for you to take your ghusl between this period and the Jummah itself. However, it is preferable to delay the bath until you leave for the masjid. So if you're going to go for Fajr Salah and stay in the masjid until Jummah, then take your bath before Fajr. If you're going to go to the masjid at 11:59 a.m., then take it before that. Don't take it after Fajr. You guys understand that? Delay the bath until right before you leave for the masjid, so that way you're fresh, you're clean, you have that feeling of being, you know, extra prepared when going to the masjid. Yes?
When Fajr comes, have a ritual bath, for a bath on Friday is an obligation upon every adult.
Now, obligation, again, we know according to the Hanafi school of thought, taking a bath on Friday is not an obligation. It's a sunnah, it's an emphasized sunnah. Every person should try their best to act upon the sunnah. Yes?
That is, an established and emphasized practice. Then dress up nicely with white clothes.
Dress up right and dress up nicely with white clothes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he encouraged wearing white. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba that wear white clothes, for indeed it's the best of your clothing. And then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَكَفِّنُوا فِيهِ أَمْوَاتَكُمْ and also مَوْتَاكُمْ and also shroud your deceased in white clothing as well. So white clothing is a good color. It's a color the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked. We should make a habit of wearing white, especially when it comes for Jummah. Yes.
Then dress up nicely with white clothes, for that is the clothing Allah Most High likes best. Use the best smelling perfume you have, and be very thorough in cleaning your body.
So we use the best smelling perfume you have. So it's a good thing to apply perfume on Friday. Before you come for the Jummah prayer, apply some perfume as well. So that way there's a beautiful fragrance when you come in the masjid and people aren't offended by any bad odor that may be coming out of your body. However, when applying fragrance to the body, it's important to know for men that you should not apply fragrance that is used by women. There should be a distinction. And there is a distinction between men and between the fragrances used by men and the fragrances used by women. There should be no confusion. Someone should smell it and think, oh man. And then he looks and he sees a brother with a beard there. That shouldn't be how it is. There's a special fragrance for brothers and a special fragrance for sisters. Now in our communities, throughout history, this has always been known. Like they say back, this in the older days, I can't comprehend this because in our times, it's the whole concept is different, the fragrances. But they say, the scholars have written, that the fragrance for men is one that has a strong smell and little color. And the fragrance of a lady is that which has a lighter smell, but stronger color. Now, the reason why I said it's hard for me to understand this is because in our day and age, there's usually the color aspect of fragrance isn't involved. There's not really color with it. So that's why it's hard for us to understand it. But I'm sure in those days, the fragrances had some sort of color to it. So they're saying for a lady, more color, less smell. Because we know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explicitly, he said, Allah's curse is upon the lady who wears fragrance and then exits her house. Because that fragrance will attract the attention of people around you. So making sure that you do not apply fragrance for the sisters when leaving the house, the fragrance should be worn at home. However, if you wish to apply some fragrance, then apply just a little fragrance so that way at least you can smell yourself. That's okay. So at least it negates the bad smell coming out of the body for the sisters. That's not an issue. But applying perfume to a point that every person you walk past, they smell you and their heads are turning, that's what's not permitted in Islam, and that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's curse comes in. So for the brothers, when we're applying fragrance, it's good to apply a lot of fragrance. But again, bear in mind, don't put on fragrance that's that may cause other people to get a headache. You understand what I'm saying? Don't do that. And don't impose your fragrance on other people. I once came to the masjid and I had a bad headache. After salah was over, I asked the brother next to me, I said, brother, what kind of itr did you put on? He said, it's called Jannatul Firdaus. He said, it's called Jannatul Firdaus. So I said, someone should change the name to that. Because I'm sure if that's how Jannatul Firdaus smells, people are going to start changing their du'as. Muzakaram, I'm just saying, joking, right? But the point that I'm making is that don't apply fragrance. Another thing is that don't impose fragrance on another person. You know, when you offer fragrance to someone, we know that the person who is being offered shouldn't reject it. The Prophet ﷺ, he said not to reject when someone offers you perfume. However, don't impose it on them. Maybe you can, when you give fragrance to someone, ask them, how do you think the smell is? If they like it, then say, why don't you apply some? But don't give it to someone and force them to put it on, because that happens. I remember a few years back when I was leading Tarawih at ICC, there was a brother in our community, mashallah, who was very sincere. And out of his sincerity, every day he used to put his itr on the sajda spot on this musalla right here that I'm sitting on. Now, when I would go into sajda, the smell would just really just shoot into my head and I have a bad headache. So I made an announcement once. I made the announcement once that, brother, please, whoever's putting this itr, may Allah reward you, but just don't put it on this musalla. Put it on another musalla because it's hard for me to pray salah. And that brother, he kept doing it until I found out who it was, and I approached him directly. I said, brother, stop doing this because it disturbs the imam, and if you're leading tarawih prayer, it also causes confusion while you're reading because you need to focus. So these are things that you have to be careful of, that when you're putting perfume on, don't put on perfume that may be selective to your taste and it may harm other people. And the best way to get around that is to apply perfume lightly and not overwhelmingly apply it. Yes?
Be very thorough in cleaning your body by shaving, cutting your hair, trimming your nails, and brushing your teeth.
So doing these three things that are mentioned here, these three things should be done on a weekly basis and preferably on Friday. What are the three things? The first thing, to shave under your navel area. The second thing is to shave under your navel area, your arms, and shave under your navel area, your arms, and then trimming your mustache, and also cutting your nails. So these are three things that we should do every Friday, grooming yourself properly. Yes?
And carry out all other kinds of personal hygiene, including perfuming of yourself. Then go early to the main mosque, making your way there.
Go early to the main mosque. So the idea of Jumu'ah is not that we should hold a Jumu'ah in every small masjid. There should be smaller masajid throughout the city to facilitate the daily prayer of people so everyone can easily go and attend. But however, for Jumu'ah, there should be what we call the Jami'ah. The Jami'ah means the one that combines the main masjid. And in the presence of the Jami'ah masjid, all the other masajid close down, the smaller ones, and they attend the big masjid, and that's where the main khutbah is given to gather a large amount of people. You guys understand that? And no matter whatever your opinion is, whatever school of thought you follow, your Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi'i, whatever it is, you put that to a side, and for Jumu'ah, you gather together in one large hall, in one large gathering, to show the strength of the Muslims and the numbers of the Muslims. Yes?
Make your way there calmly and unhurriedly. For indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever goes to the mosque in the first hour, it is as if he offered a camel in sacrifice to Allah.
So whoever goes early for Jumu'ah prayer and goes there in the first hour, he gains a reward of sacrificing a camel for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Yes?
Whoever goes in the second hour, it is as if he offered a cow. Whoever goes in the third hour, it is as if he offered a sheep. Whoever goes in the fourth hour, it is as if he offered a chicken. And whoever goes in the fifth hour, it is as if he gave an egg. When the imam emerges, the registers are folded closed, the pens lifted, and the angels gather at the pulpit to listen to the remembrance of Allah.
So here the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that when you come for Jumu'ah, try to come early. Why is that? Because at the door of the masjid, there are angels sitting there, and they're noting down which hour you come to the masjid. The earlier you come, the more the reward you gain. Now, how much does a sheep cost? A camel. Let's start with a camel, okay? $1,500, $2,000. It's as if you gave all that money in sadaqah just by coming early to the masjid. Then cheaper than the camel is the cow. Okay, it's a little less in price. That's for the person who comes in the second hour. And like this, gradually working all the way down until the person who comes in the last hour, what reward does he give? as if he sacrificed an egg for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 20 cents. Chalo, aapka bhi kuch lag gaya. 20 cents, here, take this and you get some reward too. But that's kind of like barakah, you understand? That's like barakah, it's one egg, that's your reward there. But it's still something. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the imam comes out for the khutbah, the angels, they close their registers, they lift their pens up, they come to the front, and they also join in the khutbah. And now the people that come after the khutbah has started, there is no reward for them at all. They lose that extra reward that they could have gained when coming to the masjid. Now here the hadith mentions the first hour, the second hour, the third hour, the fourth hour, the fifth hour. What does this mean? Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, who was a great muhaddith, he used to explain this by saying that you take the time between Fajr and Dhuhr, Fajr and Jum'ah. Okay? So let's say Fajr is at 6 and Jum'ah is at 12, just for argument's sake. So how many hours is that? 6. Let's just cut 1 hour off. Let's say Fajr is at 7 and Jum'ah is at 12. So how many hours is that? 5. So now you divide 5 into 5 and you get 5. Now let's say for some reason Fajr Salah was very early and Jum'ah Salah was very late and the period between both was 10 hours, for example. That gap between the two was 10. So now you would, because the hadith mentioned 5 hours. So now you divide 5 by 10, by 2, sorry, and then you'll get, you divide 10 by 5 and you'll get 2 hours, and 2 hours will be the window for each of these 5 unique rewards. Now in our masajid, may Allah protect, the reality is everyone gets the egg. At least in Chicago, I can testify to that, inshallah, right? Everyone's getting the egg. I've only seen people take the reward of the camel in Makkah Mukarramah and Medina Munawwara. You know, when you go for Hajj and Umrah, people actually go for Jum'ah when they go for Fajr. It's true. They go for Fajr Salah and they don't come back at all. They just sit all the way there. And that's the only way you can get a good seat there. If you want a good front seat in the close to the Kaaba and the Mataf area where you can see the Imam giving the khutbah, you go for Fajr, you don't come back. Otherwise, if you try to play the Chicago trick where you wake up half an hour before, take a shower, run in the last second, double park and get in, you won't even make it past the gate of your hotel. Let alone getting inside that courtyard of the haram or inside the masjid itself. But we should make an attempt to, and an effort to try to come earlier to the masjid. Yes?
It is said that people gain closeness to Allah on the Day of Judgment according to how early they come to the Friday prayer.
Allahu Akbar. Here Imam Ghazali is saying that scholars say that depending on how early you come to the masjid, that will determine how close you will be to Allah on the Day of Judgment. When you're in Jannah, when Allah gathers all the creation together, there will be front row seats, second row seats, courtside seats, and then they're going to view all the other top. Everyone's going to be there. And how close will you be to Allah on the Day of Judgment? And this is referring to the hadith in which Allah will recite Quran. You know the famous narration in which Allah will gather all the creation together. And then He will say to them, what do you like? What do you want? And everyone will be standing there and they won't even know what to ask from Allah. So then the prophets will say, oh Allah, recite for us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recite. And what will He recite? There are different opinions. Some say He will recite Surah Rahman, some say Surah Yasin, some scholars say Surah An'am. So in that gathering, that very special VIP gathering, how close will you be to Allah? Depends how early you come for Fajr. Depends how early you come for Jum'ah Salah. This is what the scholars used to say. Likewise, there's another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are three things. If people knew the true virtue of them, they would race their camels to beat the others so they can be first in it. You guys understand that? The Prophet said there are three things, they hold so much virtue. But people don't realize their virtue. If they knew the true virtue of it, they would race their camels with one another to see who can beat the other person to come there first. What were the three things? The first thing the Prophet ﷺ said, adhan. If people knew the true virtue of adhan, they would race with each other to see who gives the adhan. But no one wants to give the adhan because we're all coming late. The second thing, the virtue of standing in the front line of salah. If people knew the virtue of standing in the front saf, they would race with one another to come. And one hadith the Prophet ﷺ said, they would come to the front saf if they knew the virtue of it, even if it meant that they had to drag themselves on the ground and come. You guys understand that? Even if their legs were non-functional, dysfunctional, they would drag their bodies on the ground and come to the front saf if people truly knew the virtue of praying in the front line. And the third thing, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-ghuluwu ila al-jum'ah, to come early for Jum'ah. If people knew the virtue of coming early to Jum'ah, they would race one another to see who can get early to Jum'ah. Yes.
Then when you have entered the mosque, seek out the first row. If people have gathered, do not step over their shoulders or pass in front of
them. Do not step over their shoulders. When you come to the masjid, try to sit close. You know, before our khutbahs, before our lectures, before our events, we always tell everyone, gather close by, everyone sit together, don't leave gaps, don't sit on the wall, don't sit in the corners. This is actually based off this hadith right here. And what is the hadith? The Prophet ﷺ is teaching us that when we sit together, sit compact. When you come for salah, fill in the front lines, don't pray in the corner. In Salah, that could have been permissible, right? Yes or no? That could have been permissible in Salah, that the Imam could stand here, and then you pray wherever you want in the masjid, just follow the Imam. But the Prophet ﷺ, did he like that? He ﷺ didn't like that. He said, everyone start the front line, make sure there is no gap at all, and then you can start the second line. Make sure there is no gap at all, then you start the third line. Even for our gatherings, that's exactly how it should be. There should be no gap at all until you start the second line. And no gap at all until you start the third line. That's the way our gathering should be compact. So here, Imam Ghazali is teaching us that when you come for Jum'ah Salah, don't sit by the exits. Everyone sits by the exits. Why do they sit by the exits? Easy exit. After Jum'ah Salah is over, after Assalamu Alaikum, run. Because if you sit in the front line, by the time you get to the door, it's going to be jam-packed. The parking lot situation is going to be very bad. So everyone sits by the exit so they can leave fast. Here Imam Ghazali is teaching us, no, when you come for Jum'ah Salah, come to the front line, sit there, and don't rush on your way out. Be relaxed. Now, if the masjid is full, don't force yourself to the front line now. You're late, you snoozed, now you lose out on it. So sit in the back now. Find your place closest and go and sit there. Don't cross over people. Don't jump over people. Now, what is considered jumping over people? The scholars say to raise your foot to go over someone to the point where your foot is going over their shoulder. Because you can cause them harm, you can harm them. But if there's a gap there and you can easily slide through the middle, that's not an issue. If there's a space in the front, then to go through people like that, there's nothing wrong with that. Yes?
Sit close to a wall or pillar.
So before that, the second thing that Imam Ghazali mentioned there is that do not pass in front of them. If someone is praying Salah, don't cross them. Now when you come for Jum'ah, you're making your way to the front. Someone's praying there, don't cross them. Go around them. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that if you truly knew the harm of crossing a person while praying Salah, you would stand there waiting for 40 years and you wouldn't take a step. The Prophet ﷺ said you would stand there for 40 years but you wouldn't cross him because you would know, if you knew how harmful and how bad it was to cross a person while praying Salah. So never cross a person while praying Salah. If a person is praying Salah, ideally you should walk around them. Now the person who's praying Salah, if you're praying Salah, be smart. Don't pray Salah against the far wall of the masjid so no one else can cross you now. And don't pray Salah right in front of the door of the masjid because everyone's going to be at inconvenience. Try to find a place where you're not going to put people at inconvenience and pray Salah there. Now, once you've done your job as the one who's passing by, you should not walk in front of someone. Ideally, you want to go around them. If you can't go around them because there's someone praying behind him, or whatever the case is, then in that situation, or for example, the masjid is huge. Let's say the masjid is 100 lines long. And there's a guy praying in the middle of the masjid. Now if you try to go around him, you're going to walk 5 minutes to get around him. So in that case, the scholars say that there are two opinions. The first opinion is that you skip three lines and then cross him. What do they say? How many lines? Skip three lines and then cross him. And the second group of scholars, they say, you cross him from outside his line of vision. So if a person's standing and praying Salah, how many lines would he see while he's praying? I don't know, maybe 5 lines, 6 lines. Then cross his line of vision, and then you can go. However, many scholars, they say that this ruling of skipping 3 lines or outside the line of vision only applies if the masjid is jami'ah. If it's what? What's a jami'ah masjid? Anyone remember? The main, central, large masjid. If it's a smaller masjid, walk around them. Because a smaller masjid is easier to do that, the jami'ah masjid is very hard. However, in Makkah and Medina, this ruling is excused altogether because it's very difficult to even cross 3 lines. You just have enough space to cross 1 line. 3 lines is another discussion altogether. Yes?
Do not sit down until you have performed the greeting prayer. It is best to pray 4 rak'ahs, in each of which reading Surah Al-Ikhlas 50 times.
Now, Imam Ghazali is giving us a special thing. He's saying that when you come for Jum'ah, pray 4 rak'ahs before Jum'ah, and in each rak'ah, read Surah Al-Ikhlas, Qul Allahu Ahad 50 times. Right? And then he gives a virtue for this. The hadith is interesting. It's a weak narration, but it's an interesting narration. He quotes from Dar Qutni. What is the narration?
Whoever does this will not die.
He says, it's in a hadith, that whoever does this will not die until he is shown his place in Jannah first. So the virtue is quite big too, right? The hadith is weak in its nature, but the virtue is so great. The one who does this prays Surah Ikhlas 50 times in each rakat, and all 4 rakats put together 100 times. Yeah, no, sorry, 200 times. Then for this person, it will be the reward that he won't leave this world until he sees his place in Jannah. Yes?
Do not omit the greeting prayer, even if the imam is delivering the sermon.
Now this is according to the Shafi'i school of thought. There's a footnote there, let's read it. Yes?
In the Hanafi school, one should not pray or read anything once the sermon begins.
So according to the Shafi'i school of thought, if the imam starts a khutbah, you come in, you want to pray your 2 rakat, the greeting of the prayer, you can do so. According to the Hanafi school of thought, you will not. If the imam has started, You don't pray anything, you don't talk to anyone, you don't read any Quran, you silently sit down and listen. Yes.
It is from the Sunnah to recite in four rak'ahs, Surah Al-An'am, Al-Kahf, Taha, and Yasin. If you cannot do this, then recite Surah Yasin, Alif Lam Mim Al-Sajda, Hamim Al-Dukhan, and Al-Mulk. Do not neglect recitation of these surahs on the eve of Friday, for their recitation holds great merit.
This hadith is here. The Prophet, a sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, O Messenger of Allah, my memory is weak. I want to make my memory sharp. So how do I do it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that the night that precedes Friday, meaning the night of Thursday and Friday, you know that night between Thursday night and Friday morning, that night the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wake up, read four rakat, and in each rakat read, first rakat read Surah Yasin, second rakat read Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, third rakat read Surah Hamim Dukhan, fourth rakat read Surah Mulk. And then Ali radiallahu anhu says, as soon as I did this, my memory became very sharp. So when we were kids, when we were students in madrasa, memorizing the Qur'an, I remember this was a normal practice. Especially for those who were memorizing the Qur'an, this was a normal practice. We would find one student who had memorized all of these surahs, we'd tell him, you lead us, and we'd follow him in prayer. Because we didn't know them. And every Friday night, between Thursday and Friday, the students would make sure they prayed it. They were prayed in twos. Everywhere you would find in the masjid, twos, like this, following this hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, and it has a great power. Trust me, when you follow this hadith, that it makes your memory very, very strong, and it gives you that strength to memorize and become more sharp. Yes?
Whoever cannot do this should recite Surah Al-Ikhlas many times, and invoke many blessings and peace upon the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on Friday especially.
Now here, Imam Ghazali says that on Friday, take out some extra time and send peace and blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The idea of sending peace and blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, unfortunately, in America is foreign. There are very few people who even understand the virtue of sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When I go for hajj, I always tell my brothers and sisters that send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has many virtues. There are tens of times where brothers will come and tell me that, Shaykh, I didn't even know that you're supposed to send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before this day. I didn't know that it was something you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take out time every day and send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever sends 10 salutations on me in the morning and 10 in the evening, I will intercede for him on the Day of Judgment. Is that amazing or not? 10 in the morning, 10 in the evening, not even 30 seconds. I will intercede on his behalf on the Day of Judgment. Deal or no deal? Deal or no deal? That's a deal there, my friend. That's an amazing deal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in a hadith that whoever sends salat on me abundantly, whoever sends durud and salam, salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abundantly, he will be standing close to me on the Day of Judgment. The hadith is narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi. So the more salawat you send, the closeness you gain to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the closer you'll be standing. Where are we going to be? Allah knows, maybe far, far, far away. And this is one of those things that you can gain closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment, not through money, but just sending salawat, always sending durud and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, always doing that as much as you can. There's another very beautiful tradition by Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed an angel who travels to the earth, and anyone that sends salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he hears it, he takes that salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, O Messenger of Allah, so and so, and the hadith says, he mentions that person's name and his father's name, that so and so, the son of so and so gave salam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I reply to that person's salam. How beautiful is that hadith? That when a person sends durood and salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the angel hears it, he conveys it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then replies to that salam. There's another hadith by Ubay ibn Ka'ab that's also narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi. The famous tradition, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with one sahabi, and the sahabi said, O Messenger of Allah, I have a time that I have appointed to use for dhikr, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And out of that time, I'm going to dedicate 1/4 of it to sending salutations on you. Is that okay? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 1/4 is okay, but if you increase it, it's better for you. So he said, okay. O Messenger of Allah, I have appointed a time for dhikr, for remembrance of Allah. I will now dedicate half of that time for sending salutations on you. Is that okay? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, half is okay, but if you increase, it's better for you. He said, O Messenger of Allah, okay. I have dedicated a time to send salutations on you. 2/3 of that time I'm going to use to send salutations on you, and 1/3 for dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, That's okay, but if you increase, it's better for you. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I will dedicate the entire time of my dhikr just for setting salutations on you. The Prophet ﷺ smiled. And he said to that sahabi, if you do this, Allah will forgive all of your sins, and Allah will remove all the difficulties from your life. Two things will happen for you. You're ever stressed, you're worried about an exam or marriage or business. The easiest way to get rid of your stress is to send salawat in the Prophet ﷺ. Inna salataka sakanun lahum. Right? You send salawat in the Prophet ﷺ, Allah will make it easy for you. Allah SWT will make your life easy for you. This is the hadith of Tirmidhi, a very authentic narration. And along with that, Allah will forgive your sins. According to one tradition, the Prophet ﷺ, he told the sahabi that if you send salutations on me, the entire time that you've dedicated for dua, Allah will give you more than what the person asking Allah gave. You guys understand? The one who is making dua to Allah, Allah will give you more than what he gave for that person. If you use your time sending salawat on me. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, if you send one salutation on the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you 10 salutations. You make one dua for the Prophet of Allah, Allah will give you 10 in return. So this is a very good thing, something that we should make a habit of daily basis to send peace and blessings on the Prophet ﷺ. So here, especially on Friday, take out some extra time and send peace and blessings on the Prophet ﷺ. Yes?
As soon as the imam emerges, cut short your prayers and speech and occupy yourself with responding to the muadzin.
When the khatib comes out, when the imam comes out, no more talking, no more reading Quran, no more salat, everything cut it out and pay attention to the imam. Yes?
And with listening to the sermon and learning from it, during which time you should leave off speaking completely. It states in the tradition, a person who, while the imam is delivering the sermon, says to his companion, be quiet, or shh, has spoken needlessly. And whoever talks needlessly has no Friday prayer.
So even if someone's talking next to you, are you supposed to tell them to be quiet? No. This is an issue. When we come for Jumu'ah Salah, someone that comes late, people wave at them like this. Now during the khutbah, if someone comes in the masjid, are you supposed to wave at them and give them salam? You're not supposed to. Just let them sit down after salah is over, then you can go and convey your regards to them. Yes.
So even saying be quiet is considered talking. What is proper then is to use a gesture rather than a word to silence another person during the sermon.
Again, according to the Hanafi school of thought, you will not even make any gestures. You will sit there silently without making any gestures. Let that person come and let it be. Yes.
After this, follow the imam in prayer as detailed before. When you have finished and have made the salutation, then before reciting, recite the Fatiha 7 times.
Imam Ghazali is now giving us certain du'as to read after the Jummah Salah. Jummah Salah is over. Before you speak to anyone, he says, read the Fatiha 7 times. Yes.
Ikhlas 7 times. And the 2 chapters of protection 7 times each. This protects you from one Friday to the next. And will be a guard against Shaitan. Say after that, O Allah, O you free from want, O praised one, O originator, O restorer, O most merciful, O loving, enrich me with what you have made lawful, so that I have no need of what you have made unlawful. Enrich me with obedience to you, so that I have no need to disobey you. And enrich me with your grace, so that I have no need of any other than you. After the Friday prayer, pray 2, 4, or 6 rak'ahs, as all of these have been related in different circumstances.
So you can read 2 rak'ahs after Jummah Salah. If you want, you could read 4 rak'ahs after Jummah Salah. If you want, you can read 4 rak'at and then 2 rak'at after that, making it 6 rak'at after Jummah Salah. The common opinion in the Hanafi school of thought is that after Jummah, you pray 4 rak'at sunnah, followed by 2 rak'at sunnah. However, even 2 rak'at itself is also established. 4 rak'at itself is also established, and 6 rak'at is also established. Depending on how your schedule is, you can read accordingly. Yes.
Then make sure you stay in the mosque until Maghrib, or at least until Asr, and search diligently for the honored moment, since it could be any time in the day. For hopefully you will find it while you are in a state of humility before Allah, humbly entreating Him.
How sad is it that some of us, when that moment of dua comes, that special window of dua that we talked about earlier, that the dua is accepted in, everyone in the world, the pious servants of Allah, are searching for it, and we're sitting back and playing video games during that time. And we're sleeping through that moment. And we're watching TV during that moment. And we're listening to songs during that moment. We're engaging in haram during that moment. For Jummah, we should remember there should be a higher standard. You know how for Ramadan, many of us, we unplug our TVs and no video games during Ramadan? We should hold ourselves to that standard every Jummah. Every Jummah, no TV. If you're someone who listens to music, no music. You know, if you're someone who smokes, no smoking on Friday. Make that your special day, that this day is a day that I'm going to live as if it was my Friday, as if it was my Ramadan. That's why Imam Ghazali said, try to even fast. Remember, he told us, try to even fast on Friday. Make it a special day. Things that are even, you know, maybe okay on Jummah, try to cut them out as well. Yes?
Do not sit in idle gatherings in the mosque, nor with storytellers.
Don't sit with storytellers. They used to have these people that would gather people together and tell them stories, these nice, juicy stories. Umar radiallahu anhu would beat these people up. When he found storytellers, he'd get them, he'd punish them. The reason is because storytellers, they tell people stories that are full of fabrications. And they deviate people from listening to the Qur'an and reading the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So he says, don't engage in these things. Yes?
Rather, attend only...
What's a common storyteller that we have today? Novels. Very good, right? Everyone likes reading novels and like watching movies. So Imam Umar radiallahu anhu didn't like storytellers at all. He used to beat them. He said that this is a waste of time. So watch out for this. Yes?
Rather, attend only meetings of beneficial knowledge, the kind which increases your fear of Allah Most High and decreases your desire for this world. For indeed, ignorance is better for you than knowledge that does not summon you from this world to the next. So seek refuge in Allah Most High from knowledge that does not benefit. I'm going to read the footnote. It is improper to speak in a mosque of any worldly manner. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will come upon a people a time when the topic of their conversation in mosque will be worldly matters, and Allah wants nothing from them, so do not sit with them.
So in the masjid there should be no worldly talk. You shouldn't talk about things that do not relate to Allah or the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the benefit of the matters of the Muslim ummah, or just your religion in general. Yes?
Increased supplications at the time of at the rising of the sun, at the time when it moves from its zenith, and its setting, as well as to the as the at the call to commence prayer, when the imam ascends to the pulpit, and at the time when people stand up for the congregational prayer. For it may be that the honored moment falls at one of these times.
So here Imam Ghazali is telling us, these are some of those times that scholars have said are those windows where that dua is accepted. What are some of those times? In the tulu' al-shams, when the sun is rising on Friday, then he says, he gives another opinion, right when Jumu'ah time enters, you know, where the sun moves from its zenith, that's another opinion. Some scholars say that that dua is accepted. So he said, make dua during that time. He says, in the ghurub al-shams, when the sun is setting, that's another opinion, like I told you guys, between Asr and Maghrib, that period there. Then he says, in the iqamah, when the iqamah is being called for Jumu'ah salah, some scholars say that's also the time, so use that time to make dua. Then he says, in the su'ud al-khatib bin mimbar, when the khatib is climbing the pulpit, that's also a time that dua is accepted. You remember that hadith, the Prophet was climbing the khutbah, the mimbar, and he said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. You remember that narration? The Prophet is climbing the pulpit, and at each step he said, Ameen. And the Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, why? The Prophet said, Angel Jibreel was making dua, and I was saying Ameen to his dua. And at the first step he made dua, that may Allah, may that person be destroyed, not in order, but just the three duas that were made. May that person be destroyed who does not earn his Jannah while his parents are living. And the Prophet said, Ameen. Then he said, may that person be destroyed who enters into Ramadan and exits without his forgiveness being done. Ameen. And the Prophet said, may that person be destroyed who hears the Prophet's name and does not say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Prophet said, Ameen to that. So from that hadith we learned that this is a very powerful moment to make dua. So again, this is one of those opinions on when dua should be made. And then after that, in the Qiyam al-Nasi al-Salah, when people stand up for prayer, that's also a time to make this dua. So similarly, Imam Ghazali is giving these times when, you know, you can utilize these very special windows to make your dua so that you can catch that special dua. Yes?
Make a great effort on this day to donate in charity whatever amount you are able to, however small, so as to combine the good acts of praying, charity, fasting, reciting Quran, remembering Allah, and engaging in spiritual retreats.
So try to give some sadaqah as well when you come for Jummah. When on your way out, give some charity. For yourself it's beneficial, and also for the masajid. You have to understand the masajid that we go to in America in particular, they function off our donations. The masajids are not run by government. You know, back home, many countries, in the Muslim countries, in the Middle East especially, the masajids are run off awqaf. It's government money, right? It's money that's allocated for this. These masajids are not. And every person needs to make sure they play their role. If not every day, at least when you come for Friday, in your wallet, bring $10, bring $20, bring $30. Give $1 each to your kids. Tell them, you go put it in, go put it in, go put it in. When we were young, my dad used to give us a dollar, and every Jummah we used to go put it inside the sadaqah box. And then we'd leave the masjid after that. So make a habit of giving sadaqah to the masjid every week. If every person who attended the Jummah salah gave even some money, the masajid would not even need fundraisers. But many of us don't even think it's necessary to give sadaqah when we come for Jummah. We should change our mentality. When we come for Jummah, make sure we give some sort of due. Yes?
Make this day of the week especially dedicated to your hereafter.
Now Imam Ghazali says, make Jum'ah a day that's only about your akhirah. The other 6 days, you might be a little about the dunya, a little about the akhirah, you know, between. He says, Jum'ah, only about the akhirah. The whole day, from beginning to end, your focus should be about how can I be prepared for the hereafter. Yes.
Hopefully it may be a penance for the rest of your week.
He said, if you use Friday properly, if it's possible, Allah may turn the rest other 6 days into Friday as well for you. That reward might extend to the other 6 days as well. So with that, the chapter of Jum'ah comes to an end. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq and ability to act. Muhammad has been said, wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.